Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey everyone, you are listening to the greatest movie podcast in the world, Real Nerds Podcast. I am Ryan, and for 13 years, we have seen a new movie and podcasted our experience to the world. I am joined, as always, by Brad. Brad, how are you?
Oh, you know, just busy.
Yep. Hey,
how
Brad, busy. Sucks. Your film debuted this week or last, I guess, is it still this week if it was this weekend? I don't know. Anyways, your film Doomsday was your 15th 48-hour film project that debuted at the screening. And how did it go? How was the crowd reaction to it?
I think it was positive. We did a musical and the song definitely earwormed its way into the hearts of the crowd because they were chanting it during the Q&A and later on during the walkout and everything. So people seem to like it.
Well, that's a nice way to connect with people.
Definitely different from anything else that was there. So
in a good way or a bad way?
I think in a good way, but I've been burned before. On what I think is good in these challenges, so
like crowd opinion, you know what I mean? I guess they try to mitigate it by saying you have to pick three films, but yeah,
which I don't know. I don't think they really adhere to anymore. I think first of all, the audience is made up of people who also made films, so obviously you're just mostly voting for your own, and when you vote for three, you're finding that sweet spot of like something that everybody likes. So like basically everyone's third choice is supposed to be what comes to the top, but sometimes there's just like teams that are just so large that it's insurmountable. And then again, like some people don't do the three, and I don't know if they actually disqualify those or still score them. So
interesting.
Yeah, they're not supposed to, but
did you feel that you gave it your all, and artistically this film pushed you in a way that another film hasn't before?
In the fact that I like spun shit into gold. Yes. Like dealing with COVID and like work all around it. And I didn't have COVID, but just like the scare of it kind of derailed it. Just kind of like, I still pulled out something that's, I think, better than most stuff that gets done by like huge teams. So pretty much almost by myself, like obviously I was teamed up with like another team.
Well, congratulations as always.
Thanks.
I thought like always, I think your poster is always a good selling point, and the poster was definitely gave me the vibe of a metal show from the 80s kind of style poster.
Nice. What kind of bums me out is other cities actually do a poster contest, and
oh man, you'd win.
I know. Yeah. I don't know if they do it or don't do it here just because like I'm the only one who does posters. Yeah. Like we can't just let them win by default. Yeah. And trailers too. So, yeah, I just need to start doing this project in other cities.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might be fun to branch out one day.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, good luck. I hope you win.
It's a short turnaround, so like by next week, I'll know how things shook out this year. So,
right on. So this week, Brad, we actually saw two films because I couldn't decide on one. Borderlands and Cuckoo. Stay tuned, and we'll recommend each film or not. Play the trailer and then spoil the movie. We also talk about the big movie news, which I don't think there is any actually this week, so we might skip it. And what we watch throughout the week.
Yeah, we can skip it. We got two movies to hit, so.
Cool. Hey, Brad, what did you think of Borderlands?
Dude, it's not, like I said, it was clearly going for a Guardians of the Galaxy vibe, like trying to capitalize on that type of movie. But like, it was just hot nonsense. Like, I couldn't get into anything going on about it. I've never played the video game, so I'm sure maybe these characters are special to other people, but like, it's not awful, but it's also like, I just didn't care about the lore or like what the challenge was. And like, I hated the first person narration about it. It just seemed all like super derivative and not interesting.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't think it was horrible, but Guardians of the Galaxy is fun. I don't know if this movie's fun. And
like, this doesn't have that emotional core that Guardians has, I don't think.
Exactly. Because, I mean, I think Cate Blanchett, I love Cate Blanchett. She looks amazing in the film. But she's given, her dialogue, you know, when she's doing the narration over the top, I go, oh man, this feels like Blade Runner all over again.
But like bad.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, even the theatrical Blade Runner is still a pretty good film. And, but this, I'm just going, man. And yeah, you're right. I just didn't care about anybody. Was I supposed to care that Kevin Hart almost died? I don't know. Oh, spoilers. I don't care. But yeah, I don't know. Here's a trailer for Borderlands.
Would you look at that? A ladder. Unfortunately, my design doesn't facilitate this type of...
Well, destiny awaits.
Legend has it that there's this massive treasure hidden in some secret vault. And if you go hunting for it, you'd better take any help you can get. Because it's on the weirdest, most dangerous dumpster fire of a world in the universe.
God, I hate this planet.
What is that smell?
Pisswash Gully.
Ew!
Put the window up.
I don't want to.
Roll the window up.
It's Pete. It's Pete.
Why do you think it's called Pisswash? How did it get the name?
It's in my mouth.
Do you know how many people have died? Looking for this vault?
We have something they don't, baby girl.
Okay.
What?
Major issues.
Time to make it rain! With your body parts!
What did I tell you?
Minimal explosions!
I said no explosions!
Mine's bigger.
What are you doing?
I needed a gun.
So you asked for it.
There's only one of you in the world, and you're special.
Uh-oh.
Kill them all.
Happening right now.
I'm expelling the excess lead.
I can't
can't go if you're looking at me. Actually, scrap that. I can. I really can. Actually, it's helping.
Are we really ready for this to finish?
Keep looking at me.
Borderlands is based on the hit video game, which I've never played. And, I mean, I guess maybe there's some things, but basically, Kate Blanchett plays Lilith, who is a mercenary who's hired by some guy who I forget his name. And she has to get his daughter back after she was taken out of a prison she is being held in by, her father. So Kevin Hart rescues her or kidnaps her. I don't know. And then they go to this one world that Kate Blanchett doesn't want to go to. Yeah. She ends up going there anyways.
There's this planet that there's a MacGuffin buried in it. And like, that's the whole thing is like everyone in the universe is trying to like get this thing that grants them superpowers and wealth and all that. But somehow like no one's been able to like dig to get it. And I'm not sure like what were the borderlands, because no one really mentioned, like, there's no borders, like it's just that planet.
Yeah. I have a feeling, because I heard this movie got reshot a lot, where I read that it did, that maybe there's a different movie here. And also I think it should have been rated R. It seemed a little too safe. You know, even Jack Black as the comedy relief robot guy, I didn't think he was funny at all. And yeah, he served no purpose.
He definitely felt like that Patton Oswalt bit where they just like have someone coming in, yes, and like punch up voices off screen, because it just felt like he was there to fill silence.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you know, it's, and you're 100% right, because it just, and then the,
like most of the time he's just saying what's happening, like what you're seeing.
Like, yeah, and the way the trailer was made it seem like Guardians of the Galaxy with the music and stuff. But that never happened in the movie. There was no, you know, fun music to go with it. You know, there's some creative things. I like the masks when they were in the city they were wearing.
Yeah.
But it also didn't seem like there's that many stakes involved. And I just didn't care about anybody.
Yeah. And then the whole time I was like, I kind of foresaw, like, I bet Kate Blanchett's actually the key and not the little girl.
Yeah.
So, and then, yeah, when she finally does like realize that she's the key and she like basically turns into the Dark Phoenix, I was just like, seen this before.
In my screening, people were laughing.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be serious, but yeah, people were laughing because it was so stupid.
Yeah. It was pretty silly. And then like, she still got her ass kicked, by, I don't know, whatever that rich dude's stuff.
Yeah.
Was.
That guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's such a memorable villain. We don't remember his name.
Yeah. And he has such a convoluted way of like, and also like the hole, like it's already dug and there's already like those psychos down there. So how's no one found this thing yet? like,
that's true, because they made a big deal about no one knows where it's at and you need the key to unlock it.
Nobody knows where it's at, but there's clear, like, already a dug path to it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It definitely takes place in some sort of hollowed out earth part.
Yeah. And then, like, yeah, I feel like this really should be doing that, like, when Psycho and the little rabbit girl probably would have been, like, a stronger thing, because the Psycho's clearly Drax. And, like, the little girl's probably Rocket, I guess. But yeah, like they didn't have like a, I don't know, like a relationship that had like stakes to it. It was just like, oh, they met in prison and now they're like bound to each other, like a life debt or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. There's no stakes. There's no emotional weight to it. And to further piggyback off what we're saying, we don't remember characters' names except for Lilith.
Yeah.
So, that's what I mean. I couldn't tell you. Like, I don't know what Kevin Hart's name was. I don't remember his character. I mean, the psycho guy, sure. But I guess he's supposed to be funny, too. I read that he does that in the games where he'll punch someone and, you know, do some one-liner or something. But I don't know. I didn't get it. And you think that if people aren't familiar with the game, there would be a better way to introduce them to the world. But they didn't care. And even Jamie Lee Curtis, I don't know what character she was trying to go for in it, but it just did not work.
Yeah, like I was like, oh, we're gonna find out like she's Lilith's mom or something.
Yeah,
because wasn't there like a subplot of like Lilith doesn't know like where she came from or something.
Yeah, and I mean, you learn that Jamie Lee Curtis took her off that planet so her mom would die. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was not interesting.
It's just not interesting, and it was kind of a mess, which is a bummer because, like I said, I think Cate Blanchett looks good in it, but that's about it.
Yeah, like even her like great acting couldn't save some of the dialogue she was handed. It just felt like she didn't get the character to me.
She seems bored in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She seems bored because,
like, she's heavy lifting as hard as she can, but there's just some dialogue that's so dumb.
Yep. Agreed. Yep. That was Borderlands.
Yeah. And when she has to do narration to explain what she's doing as a character, yeah, she's definitely bored.
Yeah. And because that's when you know you're in trouble as a movie. You're watching the dailies or you're watching the movie as you're putting it together, as you're editing it, you go, oh, fuck, we need to put someone in here to explain what's going on in our film because no one's going to know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. They did that with Boy Kills World. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So the second film we saw this week is Cuckoo. Brad, do you recommend Cuckoo?
I don't know what the fuck was going on in this movie. Like, I could not follow what, like, yeah.
What happened to that guy's head?
Yeah. It has some, like, interesting, creepy moments, but overall, like, I was just lost. Like, I was like, what am I watching? I don't get this at all.
I like this movie more than Borderlands. I thought it was interesting, and yeah, you're right. There are some creepy moments in it. It's kind of in the trailer, but it goes a little longer in the film, when that one lady is chasing her. And yeah, it's so bizarre. I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about this movie. Here's the trailer for Cuckoo.
Police investigator Henry Lando. I'd like to ask you a few questions about the incident.
I need you to help me find that woman.
What was your first day, my dear?
Not good.
The closer you come to where we are now,
the amount of people that have encountered the woman increases.
When are we going to see some action? Why did you bring us here?
You're here because your family belongs here.
That's a fucking weird way to put it.
Oh, it feels so good.
I need you to come to me now, right, Angel?
Watch out! What did she want from me?
If I were you, I wouldn't want to get hurt even more.
Cuckoo stars Hunter Schafer. She plays an American girl who goes to Germany to live with her dad after her mom passes away, and which isn't really hinted at in the movie, but you kind of know it's going that direction. And his new wife and her new stepsister, and they're at this resort with Dan Stevens' weird German guy. And in this resort, there's a lot of weird things happening, weird sounds, and I'm still trying to figure out what the end goal for Dan Stevens was in the movie. I mean, basically it has to do with them changing birds into human bird hybrids. For what purpose? Did you get the purpose yet? I don't know what the purpose was.
I told you, I don't know what the fuck was going on. Like, all I saw was like, yeah, Hunter Schafer gets a job at this resort and then like blows it off and then gets like either like run over or knocked out like in a car crash twice and then wakes up and then, yeah, Dan Stevens has like a German voice
and plays the flute.
And there's like a bird lady running around that like she doesn't have like a bird costume on. It's just like a coat and glasses that like just make her look birdish. And like, I don't know what her goal is. And then there's like this other dude who I guess his wife died at the resort. Now he's trying to get revenge. So he's impersonating like detectives and trying to track down Dan Stevens. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's also funny too, because I kept on thinking about nice Deadpool, you know, how he's used for a human shield.
Yeah.
When Hunter Schafer, I can't remember character's name, but she beats him up and then they decide to team up after she kicks the shit out of him. He's like, okay, well, I'll help you out.
Yeah. Also, she has a little sister and like her parents, like her dad is like recently divorced or remarried, I guess. There's like some siren that like goes out across the resort that triggers people to go, like her little sister gets it and like they're doing experiments on her. And I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know what,
because also they didn't explain the loop. How was she able to relive things over and over again?
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions to it. I mean, the gore is cool in it. There is like the lady who plays the bird lady. I think she has very nice control of her body, meaning that she acts in a way that conveys it being scary. You know, the scene I was talking about is there's that you can't, Dan Stevens, Dr. Coring or whatever the fuck his name is, says, hey, you can't be out at night because I'm guessing the bird people come out. And so she's listening to music as she's riding her bicycle and you see that woman like run after her. And when I saw that, people in my theater were gasping. I guess they didn't see the trailer, but it does have a really cool, it's shot really well and it is definitely creepy. But yeah, it's a bizarre movie. And I mean, I thought that I actually kind of enjoyed it. But not in that it's going to be a Halloween favorite, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like a full on action movie at the end too.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause also, you know, Dan Stevens gets shot by that one guy and then they're like, okay, let's get out of here. And then he shows up and he's like, oh, I'm cool. Okay.
Yeah.
He just got shot in the shoulder.
Yeah. Like a collarbone, I guess, but
yeah. No.
Barely phased him.
Yeah. I mean, the gore's cool in it. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to explain it to people that, cause my cousins saw it, and they love horror films like we do. And, my cousin Weston, he loved it, and his wife Erin, she's like, this movie sucks. So
yeah,
I think that's probably, it's probably going to be a very divisive film.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, it's one of those films, I think you should see it and then maybe you can make up your own mind. I know it has something to do with bringing children back to the nesting area because they're not really real people. They're like bird human hybrids. I don't know. That's my best guess. And that's all I got for Cuckoo.
Yeah, me too. I don't know what to talk about because, like I said, I did not get it.
All right.
And perfect. I've asked other people about it, and they're like, no, it's really good, but yeah, I can't really explain it to you. Like,
yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of that film. It's good, but I mean, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
Cool. Here's films we've watched throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, hit me up. What you watch this week?
I got to check out Sing Sing, which is
I want to see that movie. That looks really good.
Yeah, I was going in. I was like, why? This, like, seems like an Oscar contender, but it's obviously August, so why? Like, there must be something bad about it. But not really. It's a pretty, like, just nice, good film about a theater troupe in a prison. I guess the thing is, like, it kind of goes all the places you expect it to, you know?
That Coleman Domingo, though, I think is a really great actor.
Yeah, he's so good in it. It starts out like he's kind of already the head, like the head guy who's, you know, usually gets all of his plays made. But like this new guy who comes to the prison, apparently also is well versed in Shakespeare. So he kind of like starts to one up him. And he, like, Coleman Domingo's character kind of has to, like, you know, he's not like storming out in protest, but he's kind of like, okay, I can take a backseat on this one. You know, we usually do my plays, so we'll do yours. And so they end up doing like he usually does the dramatic stuff. And so this other guy's like, well, maybe we should do a comedy, because, you know, we live in prison and, you know, it'd be nice to laugh once in a while, you know, and not even has to be so heavy. So they, I guess there's like a guy who, I don't know what they call him, like this guy who like heads the program for this thing, like who isn't actually in prison. And so he actually has to go out and like write the thing for it. So he creates this like wacky comedy that kind of encompasses everybody's ideas in the room. And yeah, so you kind of show all these, you know, convicted criminals actually like coming to life and enjoying like this whole process of being creative and stuff. And, you know, it's like, as it goes
along. It's an A24 film, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's pretty straight. Sounds like a pretty straightforward film for A24.
Yeah. Like I said, there's no real surprise. It kind of like, as all that's going on, it kind of is the trope of, yeah, some of them are like on, like possible parole. And so are they going to get it or are they not? And, it's kind of weighs down on them. And it's just like a nice, like, it's like, and the really cool thing, I guess, is that a lot of the actors in the film are like, this is a real program. And so it's like a dramatized version of a thing. And so a lot of the people in the movie are actual,
incarcerated.
They're actually incarcerated. Yeah. Like they're not actors. They're actors, obviously, because they're doing this program for real, but like, you know, they're not Hollywood actors, you know?
Oh, very interesting.
Except for Coleman Domingo. So
yeah. He's fucking great.
Yeah. And there's like at the end, like right before, there's like actual footage from the real program in it. Just cool. Like all the set design and stuff that they gotten to do. And there's like one really tragic moment in like the movie that kind of derails everything. But that's as expected. It's, yeah, very similar structure to like any prison movie you've ever seen. But just with drama club. So yeah, I think it's worth a shot. And then I also watched Trap.
Oh, yeah. M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Did he direct it, or is it like just like a producing thing for him?
I'm pretty sure he directed it and wrote it.
Yeah, it's all right. I think Josh Hartnett, like as the serial killer, is like he does a good job. But I think like being stuck in this concert in a stadium the whole time for most of the movie is kind of boring. And I did enjoy like seeing the ways he kind of subverts the security. But yeah, like there's like a third of the movie where spoilers, he's not in the stadium anymore. And like once the tables do get turned on him, it gets a little more interesting. But
that's my problem with the premise. How did they know he was going to be at this concert?
Yeah.
Did they explain that? If they don't know who he is, how do they know he's going to be at the concert?
It's such a, like, a... Yeah, like, they don't actually... I mean, I did nod off for a little bit of it, so it might happen during that short span. But, yeah, like, by the end of the movie, I was like, how did they know he... Like, they didn't know his identity. But they knew enough that, like, he has a daughter that would be there. And buy two tickets. Yeah. Like they know his credit card information because that's how they track him down. They knew that this guy was going, like he bought tickets to the show. So after that, they set up the whole sting operation, but it's like, so they know his credit card. So why can't they just go to his house and get him?
You know? Yeah. And if it's a serial killer, I mean, I'm saying because it's not like I do this for a living, but if someone was serial killing people and I asked, I don't know, American Express, I might need to get a warrant, or sometimes they might just give you the information. Like, hey, this credit card number keeps on popping up at people's houses that are murdered. Do you mind if we get the name of the person? My guess is the company's saying, you know what? We're going to give it to you.
Yeah. And again, I don't know how they figured out that he bought tickets. Like, how would they know?
Like, yeah.
They don't know his identity. So how would they know which, like, other people are buying tickets to the show, but yeah. Yeah, it's just like a lot of questions about like how this really works, and yeah, watching him like try to hide it from his daughter, you know.
Yeah,
he's there the whole time. Yeah, creative, but yeah, there's also like, you know, it's in the trailer. The one dude who's at the merch table is like, again, I've never seen a merch person be like, I'm going to go the extra mile for you, because like in the middle of the show, they like take a break and go get his daughter a t-shirt, and they don't have her size, but the guy behind the table is like, oh, you know what? We might have more, but like come back in 10 to 15. And then like they come back in 10 to 15 and, he's like, just gives it to her for free, which doesn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, fuck the artist. That's how they make all their money.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. You had to wait. Also like, yeah, sorry. You had to wait. Here's it for free. Like, no one does that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess he just feels like Josh Hartnett's like a nice guy, and then he's been told by security not to divulge information because anybody could be the. But he's like, I don't feel like you're the killer, so I'm going to tell you like what's going on here. It's like, idiot. Yeah, interacts with him a couple times, but yeah, doesn't quite make sense to me.
Oh.
That's all I watched this week.
So. On Sunday I woke up and I could not sleep for some reason, and I went out and just put on Hulu, and I found out it was Cary Grant Day on Hulu, on TCM. And what was really interesting about it is it coincided with his film Suspicion, which I've never seen in theaters, being released on the big screen. I said last week how it's supposed to be at the Shea Artis. Well, you alerted me that they moved it to the Greenwood Village, which they did. And so when I woke up, I literally watched four Cary Grant movies in a row. Topper, which is really fun. He plays this arrogant guy who he and his wife die in a car accident, and they come back as ghosts and they try to help somebody else named Topper and be better people even though they're dead now, so it doesn't matter. I also watch Arsenic and Old Lace, which is a really frantic screwball comedy that has horror elements to it. That story is he plays this man named Mortimer. He's going to marry his fiance, which he does, and he goes to his aunt's house, and he finds out his aunts murder sad old men and bury them in the basement, and it's a screwball comedy from there. The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer is a kind of a weird one, but it's really funny. He plays another like no care in the world kind of guy, and part of his punishment for being late to court is he goes and speaks to Shirley Temple's high school, and she falls in love with him. So Shirley Temple's sister, who happens to be the judge, says, I'm not going to send you to jail, but because my sister has a huge crush on you, you're going to have to date her and then break it off with her. So she actually goes out with a boy her normal age. And of course, you know, he's saying, well, that's just weird. And he ends up falling in love with the judge, and it's a really cute movie. The premise is a little odd, but it's really well done. And the last thing I watched on TCM was My Favorite Wife, which is one of my favorites. It stars him and Irene Dunne, who I absolutely adore. And the movie opens with him going to a judge and declaring getting his wife declared dead because she's been missing for 7 years on the sea, and he wants to marry his new fiance. Well, of course, it's the day he marries his fiance, his wife shows back up, and he has to navigate his life now with re-falling in love with his wife, breaking it off with his new fiance, and reintegrating. The cool thing about this film is she also has to be reintegrated into their family life with her children that don't really know her. And it has this kind of, drama to it that is, really, heartwarming, and how they navigate through that. And the stepmom or fiance becomes kind of a, what do you call it? Like, you start seeing her true colors. So she's not as nice as she appears to be. And then the last thing I saw was I went to the Greenwood Village to see Suspicion. And, when I bought my ticket online, there's only maybe four or five seats taken in this film. Which I was like, okay, I mean, it's a really good movie, but it's maybe a lesser known Hitchcock film.
Also, there's very little warning that it was going to be there.
Yeah, but I get there, no joke. So I bought my ticket on the app, because if you buy it on the app through Landmark and you're part of their membership, it's only $5 on these films. Anyways, so I bought it, picked my seat, close up front. And when I get there, there's a huge line. I go, oh, maybe they're here for Despicable Me 4 or whatever. No, when I got into that film, it was a bunch of old people who probably don't know how to use the app. So they just bought their tickets at the theater. And it was almost sold out. I was in the third row, and my row, all the seats behind me were sold. And my row, no one sat next to me on the left or right, which was nice. And then the second row was almost full too. So it ended up doing pretty well, and it played really well. My only thing is, I might be an ageist by doing this, but every time I see an old movie with old people, they talk to the screen like the characters on the screen can hear them.
Dude, and don't even get me started.
In this one, Cary Grant plays this guy who is kind of a liar and a cheat, but he's not a bad guy. But part of the thing is, you know, it's suspicion. Is he really going to do this stuff? Is he really going to murder someone? So it's the tension and the thrilling part is through, is he really a bad guy? But as he's doing this and, you know, he's playing this evil guy, quote unquote, evil guy, there's this old lady who keeps on talking to the woman on the screen. Like, she can hear him, or like, she can hear her. She said, no, don't fall for his tricks. And you also want to say, this movie's 85 years old. I don't think, have you not seen it? But yeah, so it's just this thing that every time I see an old movie like that in theaters, the old people talk to the characters like they're real.
Yep.
But I will say that the film was almost sold out, so that was really cool to see. And it was really cool to see a film from 1941 on the big screen. I'm always a fan of doing that stuff. So yeah, I really just watched a bunch of Cary Grant films this week, and I had a lot of fun doing it.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I did this week.
Did Zach go with you?
He did not.
Hmm.
I think it's because they changed it at the last minute, and the day I think was the same, but he didn't think they were going to show it. So I don't think he'd get it off from work. I mean, I really like that theater. I think it's really nice. But to answer your question, there's a bunch of old people there. So maybe they'd be willing to make the drive if it's a film like that.
Yeah. That's like every time I've been there, like lately, the seats have been like just destroyed.
Huh? Yeah, mine seems okay, but I guess I really didn't look. Like I said, I sat in the third row, so I don't know. And I was hoping if I sat in the third row, no one would sit with me, because the third row is the first row of just normal seats. It's not the stadium seating, you know, but that didn't work either. But oh well. Next week, we're seeing Alien Romulus, so stay tuned for that. It should be lots of fun. And hey, we'll see you at the movies.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it.